For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes, and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Mbulo Binaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, we look back at the devastating Vanuatu earthquake from late 2024 and find out how people have managed to slowly regain some normality in the past 12 months.
When it first started, I thought, oh, it's the similar one like all the other ones. And I am in office in my conference room. It didn't stay longer than 2 minutes, but it felt like it was the longest that we've heard, because it thrown us off from the chairs, under the table, and the floor is moving, and you were thinking, what is happening?
And fighting the sea, the impossible mission to hold back the pounding waves of the ocean in one Solomon Islands village.
What we build is part of the activity we came up with to save this place, especially from the damage caused by the waves. And as you can see, this is how what happened when the waves come in and spoil this place.
Strong and heavy, come in and heavy, make this wall a stone wall, heavy, fall down, go back more. We also witness him this all the time.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
You are in a cafe. It's lunchtime, busy, and all of a sudden, you can't stand up. You keep falling to the ground. Everything around you is moving, and you are not really sure what's happening.
But then it becomes really clear that there's actually an earthquake. Everything is shaking. Anything that's not secured is thrown to the ground.
This is just one scene from the 2024 earthquake in Vanuatu. It was a massive 7.3 magnitude in size and caused a huge amount of damage right across the country, especially on the island of Efate.
Flora Vano is from Vanuatu, and she was in the country when it all happened.
This is the first time we are looking at what is the power of this, of the earthquake. And it feels like it has a hollow sound, like a male. Like we thought it feels like it's an older male voice, but it was coming from beneath me. Like I'm hearing that woo sound, but it's like woo, like big, big, deep woo. And it's from under, and I thought, that's it, that's the end of time. we will, the, you know, the floor will open up and there we go. That's it. Bye-bye.
Hello, Algeta. My name is Flora Vano and I'm the country manager for ActionAid Vanuatu. I'm a feminist. I'm a climate change activist. And I'm proud to be here today.
Where were you at the time of the earthquake in 2024 in December?
2024 December. 17 December, I just arrived in country from COP in Baku on the 16th. And then the 17th, I had a meeting with all my team. We are preparing for close of office and looking at what if there's a cyclone hitting us between the cyclone season. And that was the prep that we were in. It was around 1 p.m. We just had all our reported done. And then we are having lunch. And then we could hear the earthquake started. When it first started, I thought, oh, it's the similar one like all the other ones. And I am in office in my conference room, having a plate with me at that time and having a screen that I just hired just for the meeting, just for the day. Mm. And, yeah, that it was talking about it, reliving those moments is something.
Yeah,
it's putting yourself there and trying to know, calculating that the equipment you hired needs to be protected, as well as you have to be protected. And you could see everything changing this 1 to 2 minutes. It didn't stay longer than 2 minutes, but it felt like it was the longest that we've heard, because it thrown us off from the chairs, under the table. It shifted the whole glass that we got, you know, glass frame there. And you could feel it's like jelly. And you thought it will burst and, you know, shattered, but it didn't. It just stayed there and it looked. And the floor is moving and you were thinking, what is happening? And because the place we are in also is down, and we have another layer of building where it is an accommodation on top of where we are. So our office is located near the main road, but then on top of the office, there's a whole accommodation apartment. And we were also looking up on the roof, if the roof will give way and furniture will be starting to come down. It's scary. I think it's one of the worst thing we've seen in 2024 after we came back from, you know, 2023 Queen Cyclone. This is totally different from cyclone.
Flora, you stated about the need to protect all the equipment that were on lease. And at the same time, the need to protect yourself from the rumble of an earthquake that happened last year, late last year, around this time last year. What was your feeling? What were some of the first few things that came into your mind at that point in time?
Joe, if I would be really honest and frank about the feeling, or the other things that came to mind, it was just me survival. And it was like, I'm looking at the whole place and I thought the floor will open up and we might probably sinking, because I've never seen the floor looks like jelly also. So was the glass, and how it actually removed someone from a chair. I never thought earthquake will remove someone from a chair, let alone my sister that was with us in the same space. She is confined to a wheelchair. But then it overthrown her from the wheelchair, remove her completely from the wheelchair. I've never seen anything like that. This is the first time we are looking at what is the power of this, of the earthquake. And it feels like it has a hollow sound, like a male. like we thought it's an it feels like it's an older male voice, but it was coming from beneath me. Like I'm hearing that woo sound, but it's like woo, like big deep woo, and it's from under. And I thought, that's it, that's the end of time, we will, the, you know, the floor will open up and there we go, that's it, bye bye. And those instant, I couldn't think of anyone else rather than, how am I gonna survive from here? And if I could, the next minute, is my kid safe? Is my other team safe? Because I'm thinking of myself, but also I had the headspace to also think of where are the team that I work with? Where is my kids? Mm. Where is my family? Like, all of this wraps in, and it feels like if you couldn't manage the information or the thinking, I think the stress only will make you collapse, because your heartbeat will be pounding. We were scared, like really scared. And when we move out, we could see people walking, crying, the blood coming out from their head, their legs. A lot of us got injured during the process. Yeah, it gave us that fright. And I think that also prompted us that we need to prepare ourselves better. We're not only preparing, because physically we thought if the ground or if the land open up, I will definitely go in. I won't see my kids. And the next thing I did was head counting every team members I have. We sent some people to the shop. They got stranded on the shop because the earthquake came. We lose contact. I think after the earthquake, there was a few minutes there that we can call and make urgent call. The first call I made was trying to check where my kids are.
When, this might sound like a really stupid question, but when there is an earthquake, how soon do you know that it is actually an earthquake? How do you know that straight away?
We were told the water will give away the earthquake.
Ah, right.
Any liquid. We can be sitting down, but if the liquid in that glass is actually shifting, it's prompting you that the earthquake is coming.
Sure.
So this is the normal one we get to know when we are growing up. We knew. But on our islands where there's volcano, we hear volcano every time. Then we couldn't differentiate the volcano earth tremors and the normal earthquake,
yeah,
because they both play the same. They gave us the same, it served the same purpose. They all, when the volcano started, you could see the water shifting also. But on islands where there's no volcano, we are taking on board, you know, where if there's a vase of flour, you can see the water moving.
It's very interesting. And Vanuatu is one of the countries in the Pacific that I would say has some really intact traditional knowledge when it comes to predicting weather or any natural disaster. Flora, it's already 1 year. How has the country recovered so far?
It's a joke. Now, let me tell you, communities at the heart of Port Vila haven't recovered to where we should be. Buildings that have been demolished hasn't been rebuilt. Jobs that have been lost haven't been reestablished. No one reinstated back to their normal job.
Right.
And we could also see increase of violence, gender-based violence coming out. Things that we didn't know, that we thought it might not happen in countries, started to happen. Who, how, where, and when would we come back to life as Port Vila? I think that's the question we thought. It's sad. It's sad. It's not the Port Vila we knew in 2023 or before December 17. That Port Vila is gone. The life itself is gone in that Port Vila. We are now trying to make life in other suburbs in Port Vila, but it's not the same. We feel it didn't connect us yet. We needed to connect us. But it left us a gap. each time you pass through town, you can feel the sadness.
Well, thank you so much for having a chat to us, Flora. I really appreciate it. Been a long, long year, I'm sure, for you and your family and all your friends back in Port Vila.
Yeah, it was. For me and the women and the mothers, thank you, Fred. Thank you, Joe. Media will be always our friend, and we know that's where we reach a lot of people to hear our stories or even hear what we are going through.
Yeah, thank you for talking to us, Flora. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Flora. Vinaka. Thank you so much for your time.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Hello, my name is Patrick, and I'm from SIBC, and you're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Hello, my name is Alistair Boro. I'm from SIBC. Are you listening to Pacific Prepared?
Hi, I'm Roland from the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation here in the Solomon Islands, and you are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Nemblome Johnson Honimai from Solomon's Broadcasting Corporation, or here or Honera, Solomon Islands, and you listen to this program, Pacific Prepared.
Think about the power of the ocean. You can hear it, you can see it, and you can feel it. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps on rolling in, wave after wave.
Fred, we know and understand that there's a lot of communities that live by the sea right across the Pacific, even in Fiji, and they heavily rely on the sea. But sometimes it's not always friendly.
There's a community in Solomon Islands that's trying its best to hold back the ocean from taking the land through coastal erosion.
Our colleagues from Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, or SIBC, visited the village recently and recorded this story.
Okay, as we are standing here, we can see that the stones were filled up within something kind of look like a net. I don't know what the real name or what it is actually called, but it is swung around all these heaps of stone or pile of stones. Now, as I'm looking where we are standing, there's a crack, sort of a crack along the edge within inland of the wall. What do you call him? Is it the tidal or sea level rise or hemi rain? What do you call crack?
Thank you, Visa. This one last month, Nihola West calls up a lot.
Thank you, Officer. This is last month. It happens last month. We saw it last month. The waves last month is so big that causes these cracks.
Result was strong blue sea and wave or tidal wave where the last month, Kavkasim last week, wave a little bit strong and have not causing this wall. This depends on stone wall where people travel, build a seven this wall like this. Okay.
Yes, my name, Father Leslie Allen Kali. I am the rector of this parish, St. Alban, inside the diocese of... I'm so grateful to have this team to visit us here to do this interview.
From SIPC, for this whole interview, for this whole afternoon.
Okay, team here with him, Father Kali. St. Albans, we're just next to the shorelines, where you may see me, Solomon Patlo shoreline finish now. So some of the science law climate change or global warming and the threat of sea level rise now. So yes, Mama, you have a little bit explaining come where now used to be shoreline law area here.
Thank you. Time post come of this whole parish. People were.
Thank you. When I just came, posted here, people who used to pray here told me that this place experienced the impact of the global warming, especially sea level rise.
20 meters. Come in now, see him, but a spoiling place. Place where see him from Kasim used to be.
In this place, they experienced the waves coming in.
Area we have a church, we have a St. Albert's.
And like now, we are standing just a few meters away from where now see Hemi Kasem, and where you meet for last up. You can see that you follow, I think, building, there's a. Well, stone wall or something similar there. You have a that's a good looking and you have a explaining come who now or what now that our project let me come up how I'm come about.
Okay, thank you. This fella,
okay, this stone wall, what we build is part of the activity we came up with to save this place, especially from the damage caused by the waves. And as you can see, this is how what happened when the waves come in and spoil this place.
Strong and heavy come in and heavy make this wall a stone wall heavy fall down go bike more. It also witness similar this wall time.
Okay, who now heavy funding this whole project you will make him here. And is there any other probably someone who have been looking finished for assist side law saving shorefront to be for yellow St. Albans?
Thank you. This whole project
this project as you can see some of these stones this project is our own initiative, especially from the parishioners here. At the moment, we don't have any funding from outside. It's just the community work from the people who come to this church, mainly the young people and the parishioners here. So what we do, we make an announcement during church service on Sundays, and they come and help with the work. At the moment, we don't have any support from outside, just us.
Support, but at the moment, the one to look at this shoreline and the community participation. Wall stone, we were building the stuff come along, brick wall.
Okay, so this wall stone, we built it, start from the other side, beside the Archbishop resident, and right through where we stand now. The stones, we bring it over from West Gora Canal. We have to buy these stones. It took us almost about 3 to 4 weeks to build this wall stone. Lucky we have the youths and other members of the church come and help us out to build these wall stones. Sometimes we walk day and night to build these wall stones.
Make sure that this wall place and be safe before opening this wall chapel.
So this net was handmade here?
Net, we will take it come from hardware.
So this net, we bought it from hardware, and then we open it up and we put the stones inside before we tie the nets up.
And I got the boys, I got put them, I got the stones inside, then we were tying him, opening the net. Yeah, Mivala. Roseite, Lori will kind is a stone on it.
For us, the project is still ongoing, but yet the challenge with the project is because of the waves are too strong. And as you can see how the waves keep on crashing and spoil the wall stone. The strength, the waves are too strong for the seawall.
Seawall brick or concrete now, cement.
Thanks and thank you, Tomas, to the journalists from Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, or SIBC, for their work on that story.
People's lives have been affected by a disaster.
Know what to do.
Know what to do.
Know what to do.
Clearing roads, restoring critical infrastructure.
See, all the signs are coming. So we have to prepare.
Be prepared.
Pacific prepared.
I'm Cynthia from Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, SIBC, and you're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Well, it's going towards the last few weeks of December and wrapping up another episode of Pacific Prepared. What a year has been, Fred.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared. It has been a huge year, Joe. We have done a bit of travel. We've done a bit of everything, but we're nearly at the end of the year.
We started off visiting the northern part of the Pacific, FSM, Micronesia, and then we wrapped up visiting one of the countries in the South Pacific, the Friendly Isle, Solomon Islands. Happy Isles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. The Happy Isles.
So, Fred, thank you so much, Winaka, for having me on the show every week over the past few months up until today. And I'll sure do talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate your help again. Winaka.
Until then, Nisamwa the Manda, Winaka Bakalebu.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.